Hi, Daphne.
Hello, Mom.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It is Wednesday?
It is Wednesday, September 6th.
Nice.
We are not ahead of schedule like we normally are because life got out of whack. But hey, we already talked about this last week. I am in grad school and it's week three. So yeah, a little crazy, a little hectic, but that's okay.
Right?
Having a great time.
It's nighttime. It's past dark.
Yep. Coyotes are already howling.
Coyotes are howling. And
here we are.
Here we are recording so we can get our episode out
live on the air. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
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 Please don't.
Oh, you're so going to leave that in there.
Probably.
I know. My mom keeps saying to me, she's like, I'm coming up with cases. And I'm like, are you ready? And she's like, well, I'm like, okay, so you're not ready. So I need to work on one. And I'm like, okay, it's fine, Mom. I'm like, as much as like, I feel like she should be producing. She's been doing about 99% of the editing recently because I'm hectic and can't sit still at a computer unless it's for school. So she's been doing it for us. And so I give her grace.
Oh, thank you. And I'm also coming up with a shorty because I asked Daphne to come up with a shorty so that we
A shoddy here.
Oh, my God. So that we could get an episode out on Sunday and not be lacking in information if I like tried to hurry and press mine through, because I thought it was going to be, as always, when I'm like, oh, this one will be easy. Nope.
They never are.
They never are.
They never are easy.
So I asked Daph if she could push out a short one. And then I'm also pushing out a short one so that I can continue to work on the longer one. So.
Okay.
Yeah. There will be.
We're here for today.
Yep. Right.
But not her shoddy, my shoddy.
Can you not?
No, I have to.
Okay.
They're so shot. All right, Mama, what's your disturbing fact?
Okay, my disturbing fact is about milk from the 19th century. And this is an
the 19th century, 1800s.
Correct.
Sorry. I always have
I'm
to like.
I'm in grad school.
I always have to like think that through. That's like way more complicated than emotional intelligence.
That's. For some people, yes. Okay, so it is about
milk from the 1800s or the 19th century.
Yes. And this is an article that is from a book called The Poison Squad by Deborah Blum. And this is an article in the Smithsonian Magazine. And actually, I saw like a snippet of this on something I was watching. And so then I'm like, okay, I have to look into this further because this could totally be my disturbing fact. And it's very disturbing.
Okay.
So are you ready for it?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be gross.
It's, yeah, a little bit. So before the Food and Drug Administration was a thing. And
the FDA?
Yes, the FDA.
1800s, 19th century Food Drug Administration, FDA.
Yeah.
I just have to like piece these things together.
Okay. So before that was a thing, then like, you know, dairy farmers could do whatever with milk, right?
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And so
I already don't like where this is going.
Well, I mean, people died from, you know, in general, food was not, there was no quality regulations on food. So people got spoiled meat. People got, you know, mealworms in their stuff, like how we talked about the St. Anthony's fire.
Yeah.
Same shit. It's just the 1800s instead of the 1400s and 1300s.
Yeah.
Right. So just different, just same, but different.
Same, but different.
Same, same. So, you know, again, people died because of milk and rotten food. And yeah, interesting story about how ketchup was made, but it was made. Never mind. I'm not going to get into this. I'm going to keep on my milk thing.
Yeah, keep on with the milk, woman.
Keep on with
the milk.
Milk
in the cow.
Okay, so, you know, scientists were trying to figure out how to make milk safe because milk was full of bacteria and, like, there was lack of refrigeration and all of that kind of thing. And when, you know, you have milk with...
The Iceman wasn't coming to your house every day.
Right. If you have milk that you've milked from a cow that's straight from a cow, it's going to have bacteria, and then you add some heat to that. And of course, you're going to get, you know, some untrustworthy 19th century 1800 milk.
Yeah.
So what dairy farmers did to quote unquote make their milk safe and to increase their profits were that they, and not only to make it safe, but to make it like more appeasing, delicious. more appealing.
Okay.
So visually and
the aesthetics, nicer yes. packaging.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm making the milk look better, right?
Right.
So sometimes dairy producers thinned the milk with water that sometimes contained a little bit of gelatin and recolored the gelatin with a bluish gray liquid. They use dyes to dye the milk to make it like, you know how people with white hair use blue shampoo to make it brighter?
Uh-huh.
Same concept. Sometimes they put chalk in the milk to make it whiter.
Gross.
Or plaster dust.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's really sanitary.
It's disgusting. So they also faked the look of rich cream by using a yellowish layer of pureed calf brains that they would put on top of the milk. Because you know how when milk separates, you have the cream on top?
Yeah. Ew.
Yeah. Vilely fucking disgusting.
That's vilely fucking ratchetly, nastily disgusting.
Yep. 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 Yep.
Yeah. That's definitely a disturbing.
Yeah. Is it not disturbing? It's disturbing.
Yeah. That's fucking nasty.
Yeah. And so obviously people caught on to it because when you pour it cream into coffee,
it mixes kindly.
Yeah. And not coagulates on the top.
Uh-huh.
Which is what calf brains do.
Right. They float.
Yeah. So, and finally, if the milk was threatening to go sour before the dairy farmers could get it out onto the market, they went to funeral parlors and they got embalming fluid, formaldehyde.
Oh, God.
A formaldehyde compound used to lengthen the life of the milk. And so in the late 1890s, formaldehyde was used so widely by the dairy and meat packing industries that outbreaks of illness related to the preservative were routinely described by newspapers as, quote, embalmed meat or embalmed milk scandals.
That's disgusting.
It is super disgusting.
But I feel like it's not much different than today with all the preservatives that are in our stuff.
Yeah, it's just a different level.
It's just a different preservative.
Yeah, exactly. So the Food and Drug Administration federal safety regulations came into place in 1906. And so all of that pretty much came to an end. But, you know.
But did it really?
Well, I said pretty much, didn't I?
You did say pretty much because I feel like the FDA doesn't have time to go around and check every single batch of milk.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, and also, you know, there was stagnant water in the milk. Some of the milk contained worms.
Ew.
Yep. There was, because there was no regulation, there's sticks, hair, insects, blood, and pus in the milk. Yeah. And some manure in some cases.
Oh, so, God. Mm-hmm. That's so gross. Yeah.
So, again, people died.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm very sure that they died.
Yeah. So, and honestly, after reading all of this, I can't believe that we still would continue to consume milk.
Yeah, I can't either. But I was just thinking about what the things that make it shelf stable, right? Like the formaldehyde that they were using then.
Mm-hmm.
Think about fucking boxed milk and stuff like that. Like, what are they putting in that shit to make it shelf stable?
Don't want
to
know.
Where it doesn't have to be refrigerated until after it's opened.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's fucking nasty.
Yeah. The use of formaldehyde was the dairy industry's solution to the official concerns of the pathogenic microorganisms in milk. And the most dangerous things that they found in the milk were bovine tuberculosis, undulant fever, scarlet fever, typhoid, and diphtheria. And of course, because there's manure, then you also have got your E. coli, your salmonella, your listeria. So again,
disgusting.
People died.
That's so gross. I hope some farmers got sued.
Yeah. And then enter Louis Pasteur into the mix, and he creates the pasteurization of milk. And here we are. Now we've got pasteurized milk.
I don't know if that's much better, but
well, it's pasteurized.
Yeah, but there could still be hair and listeria in it.
Yeah, and poop.
Yep. All kinds of different things.
Yep.
Yep. Ew. Okay, I had to laugh that one off because I want to vomit. Thanks. Thanks for that.
No problem. No problem at all. So you like that?
No. I don't like that at all. Okay. But, it's pretty nasty. It's interesting, but I don't like it. No. Pretty gross.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, and then it makes you think twice about everything.
Right. Well, and then, you know, they add the preservatives to the milk to make it quote unquote safer. And then people die from the preservatives also. Like children died from drinking milk with formaldehyde in it.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Shocker.
Right.
Well, that's like that day that I told you about the rat hair and peanut butter. And don't. You still continue to fucking buy Jif.
Okay, so you buy organic natural peanut butter. That's peanuts and salt, it says. It just doesn't fucking say it has rat hair in it because it's...
But it doesn't have fucking dimethyl hydroxy whatever in it.
Yeah, but you're talking about rat hair.
Brown 40.
I like brown 40.
I don't actually know if that's a thing, but red 40 is.
Just because yours is organic and natural doesn't mean it doesn't have rat hair. In fact, it might be more likely to have rat hair in it because it is organic and they don't want to use anything to get the rat hair out of it.
Well, I've never seen a rat hair in there and it's not as processed as yours, so I'm sure I'd find it.
I've never seen a rat hair in my Jif either.
Well, that's because it's so processed. It's I love probably it. Probably ground into it.
I love it. Okay, anyway, that's it. That's my disturbing fact and it's real fucking disturbing, yeah?
Yeah, it's real gross. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So that's how ketchup got made, though, by...
Formaldehyde?
No, by Heinz. Heinz was the first catsup. So it was this stuff that people bought that was like a fish. It was like some kind of fish something, like fish sauce, fermented fish sauce.
Ew.
From Asia. And it was called catsup. And people put it on their fucking rotten meat so they couldn't taste that the meat was rotten.
That's sad.
Yeah. That's disgusting. Because
they had fermented fish guts instead.
Yeah. Yeah. On their rotten meat. And so then Heinz, he was like, ooh, I'm going to make something called ketchup. And then now we have ketchup.
But it's made with tomatoes and vinegar.
Yeah. He didn't want to use fish guts. He thought he could do better.
Well, that's good.
Right. I don't like ketchup. But also, I'm not going to put fish guts on my food.
Why not? Sounds like a good time.
Nope. Okay, Daph.
I love fish guts on my food. That's my favorite thing about eating Misago is you can hear the little screams of the baby fish.
Oh, that's so sad. So sad. Okay, Daph. Mom,
you love it when I say that. Don't
no,
lie.
I don't love it. There are lots of things you say I don't love.
Whatever. That's one of your favorite things that I say.
Okay. Well, let's get to your short episode.
Yes. Because we spent the entire first half talking about disgusting milk. And how it can kill you.
And Daphne and I are lactose intolerant, so we don't ingest that much dairy. We do lactose free, which is still dairy, but most of the time we do like
oat milk
or coconut milk or almond milk or rice milk.
But we do like cheese.
We like cheese.
And that's what gets us the worst.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't know about if milk got me or not because I haven't had milk in so long.
Yeah.
Okay. Any hoodles. Today, what I have for you is the true story or not. They're not really that true.
True story. Trademark MTV.
That's true life.
Oh, okay, cool. Then I didn't trademark infringe anything.
Of the Nun. Because The Nun will be out in theaters on Friday. So it'll be out 2 days before we release this. And I'm going to go see it on Sunday.
With the my Nun friend. 2.
The Nun 2. Yeah, The Nun 2 will be out. And so I was like, oh, in honor of that. And I was kind of thinking to myself about how I wanted to get back into the Ed and Lorraine stuff. Because we did the first episode of Annabelle, which people really liked apparently. Even though I thought it was bad, but you know, whatever. I'm self-critical, so.
We are self-critical, but the audio was terrible.
Yeah,
it's horrible. Okay. Everybody's like, I didn't notice it. I mean,
it's not much better now, but it's like kind of better.
Yeah, people are like, I don't really notice the difference. It's like, cool, thanks.
We only spent a lot of money on these new mics.
And a lot of time and effort doing way harder editing. But it's whatever.
It's fine, though.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, so for anyone out there who hasn't seen the movie The Nun, it is the prequel to, like, The Conjuring. Ed and Lorraine Warren are not in it, but it's, she's the one who haunts in the second Conjuring, but I'll get to there in a minute. I'm going to read first the IMDb description of The Nun.
Okay.
Just to fill people in case they haven't seen it.
Okay. So you're going to spoiler alert.
No, I'm not giving you the icky.
The plot twists?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just giving you the skinny. Okay. Not the icky, just the skinny. A priest with a haunted past and a novice on the threshold of her final vows are sent by the Vatican to investigate the death of a young nun in Romania and confront a malevolent force in the form of a demonic nun. That's the IMDb description.
A demonic nun?
Yes.
Okay.
Haven't you ever seen The Nun?
I have seen The Nun. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. Demonic.
Yes.
And this is a little blog post I found where somebody also broke down the movie.
Okay.
So this is, again, no spoilers in here, but this blog is by Jacob Paisley. I think it's how you say his last name.
Or I love Paisley. That. I like Paisley. Paisley. Let's go with Paisley.
That's how I was thinking.
Is like there an Paisley. I in it?
No.
Oh, then it's probably not. But that's okay.
But it's not. Yeah. But it's not like Pace. I don't know. Okay. We're going to go with Paisley. Hi, Jacob Paisley.
Thank you for your information.
Yeah. Yeah, except for the fact that there's like typos every other word. But it's cool.
It is what it is.
A nun completing her vows as her postulancy is summoned by the Catholic Church to an abbey in Romania. She is summoned with a Catholic priest, a priest that is experienced in demonic possession and difficult unholy cases. They have been summoned by the Catholic Church to investigate the apparent suicide of one of the abbey's nuns. In their unfolding investigation, a dark, sinister force appears to be fueling the evil underbelly of the abbey. The abbey retains a dark and mysterious history. In their investigation, Sister Irene and Father Burke discover that an ancient demon is behind the evil forces and nature of the abbey. This demon masquerades as one of the abbey's nuns. They discover that the nuns are all dead, murdered by the rampaging demon, with the last nun committing suicide to protect her soul from possession. The pair's investigation continues to unravel the sinister background of the abbey's early history. The abbey's previous owner, a medieval duke, conducted a ritual that opened a portal to hell. This portal was closed by the blood of Christ when the Catholic knights executed the duke. That's the other description of the movie.
Yeah, I like it.
That's more of the ick, not the skinny.
Yeah.
And I say the ick because, like, I hate when people spoil things.
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah. I spoiled. honestly, though, watch the movie. It's pretty creepy. It's pretty jump scares. Good jump scares.
Good jump scares.
The Nun isn't based on a true story, which is unlike the other Conjuring Universe films, like The Conjuring 1, Annabelle, Conjuring 2, The Devil Made Me Do It. I mean, yes, they're like Hollywood adaptations or loosely based on the true stories, but The Nun, not that.
Okay.
So
it's totally made up.
Not totally. We're going to get into that.
Okay.
This is the true yet not so true. This is not the Hollywood completely accurately depicted this real life experience. This is not that. So Valak, who is the demon of the case, first made an appearance in The Conjuring 2 when it was haunting Lorraine Warren, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it also pops up at the end of the Annabelle creation. And so Valak, the demon from The Nun, is never a documented case on any of Ed and Lorraine Warren's investigations.
Mm-hmm.
But the couple's son-in-law, Tony Spira, told Esquire that his parents did come face-to-face with a ghostly phantom nun, while they were at a church in England in the 70s. And it said that the Warrens encountered a ghost appearing to be a real nun during a trip to the haunted Borley Church in southern England in the 1970s. After learning about a string of eerie events at the church, including bells ringing without warning, rumors of a headless monk thought to have left cryptic messages on the walls.
Ooh, I don't like it.
And a ghostly nun spotted walking around at night.
Super creepy.
The Warrens recruited several photographers to accompany them in a quest to capture evidence of the spirit, which they ended up coming face to face with the churchyard's ghost. You know, according to this lore, this was a nun who was buried alive in the brick walls of the convent, like way back when, centuries ago.
Why was she buried alive?
Because she had an affair with a monk.
Ooh, that's what I was getting to. The beheaded monk?
I don't know. I don't know if it was the beheaded monk. Maybe because he had an affair with the nun.
Sounds like it's reasonable. A reasonable conclusion.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, that's okay, but that's why she was buried alive inside the walls.
God, that's kind of bullshit.
Because she had an affair. This is what Lorraine had to say. I feel the presence of a nun in this church. And then she said it was pitch black and there were no lit candles or lights. And that the photographers snapped photos on a 35 millimeter camera with infrared film. And that when they developed the camera footage, they could like make out a nun in the footage walking down the aisles of the church praying. Oof. Yeah.
That's, I don't know. Religious hauntings, creepy.
Yeah.
More creepy.
Right. So I agree, which we're kind of getting to. Director James Wan, who directs, like, I don't know if he directs all of the movies, but he directed The Nun. Mm-hmm. And this was while Lorraine Warren was still alive. Mm-hmm. Although I heard she never even got a chance to see it because she was really sick.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. But he said that he was inspired by a demon that haunted Lorraine in her home. And she once described it as a swirling tornado vortex. But I'm going to get further into that. So Valak's look in both films, which, you know, was in The Conjuring 2, and it was brought to life because she was telling him, James Wan, Lorraine was, mm-hmm. about an experience that she had shortly after investigating at the Amityville Horror House in 1976.
Oh, shit.
And this is a quote from their son-in-law. It says, Lorraine was at home in her bed reading when she started to feel a presence. Something was wrong and she saw a black whirlwind of black mass entering the room. It was like a vortex blacker than the night. Lorraine prayed to be released from the forces of evil. She told it to leave and go back to where you came from. And it vanished as she kept repeating those words.
That's so good.
Yeah. You know, this director wanted to create like this image of... like something that, you know, kind of based off of something of her life.
Right. Something that resembled what happened.
Yeah. Something that resembled
what happened. We're definitely fucking saging after this.
Yeah, we are.
Like, I'm like, oh, I don't like it.
Oh, you're not going to like any of this.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Highly recommend if you didn't already sage, definitely like maybe sage once you're done listening to this. We cannot be held accountable if you don't sage. We will be saging. We will be saging our electronics. We will be saging our whole space.
Nah, no kidding.
So anyway, Juan, he built on Warren's description of the demon when he first created the nun character for The Conjuring 2, because that was out before The Nun. And he said, I remember hearing that and my first thought was, oh, crap, that's going to be a CGI character. But I didn't want to do that. And so it kind of took me a while to cement in my head what this vision was. And it came across eventually in a very organic way. Because it is a demonic vision that haunts her, that only attacks her. I wanted something that would attack her faith. Something that would threaten the safety of her husband. And so that was eventually how the idea of this iconographic image of a holy icon cemented in my head.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's like how you were talking about the religious haunting scare you.
Uh-huh.
That's how they came up with this idea for the nun was because of her own event.
Right.
But also like something, you know, like nun who's going to attack her faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so gonna, like threaten her faith.
It's a super twisted road.
Yeah, super twisted. So now you may be asking, what about the church?
Yes, I'm asking, what about the church?
But
so we're back in England, yeah? Southern England?
No, the church that it was filmed at.
Oh, okay.
Like the story where that takes place at, the Catholic Abbey.
Okay. And so, that's in Rome.
Yes. Okay. So the film, the priest, you know, with the haunted past. And the nun, who hasn't yet completed her vows, they're sent off to St. Carta in Romania. And this was filmed on location.
So
in
Romania, not Rome.
What?
So Romania, not Rome.
What did I say?
I said Rome and you go, uh-huh.
Oh, sorry.
The short version of Rome.
That's where the Vatican is.
In
Vatican City, but by Rome.
Yeah.
Right?
It's but by you're in Rome. Romania.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm dumb.
No, I'm dumb.
I just like agreed with you because I heard Rome.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a short version of Romania. Yeah, Rome. Romania.
So Romania has an abundance of creepy castles and creepy Gothic architecture.
Yeah, it's super cool.
It is. It's beautiful. Which I would love to go there.
Yeah.
So the cost was less expensive to film in one of these places.
I can imagine.
However, the real life Carta Monastery is the former Benedictine monastery found in the 1200s in southern Transylvania. And today it functions as a Lutheran evangelical church. And the movie scenes were not shot there, but this is what like relates to the past of what happened there. If you like look into this church, so that's what they were trying to base the church off of where they filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just kind of interesting. An interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Got our history thrown in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'd like to do that.
We do like to do that. Okay, now is when I recommend pulling out the sage.
I'm like sitting here looking at it going, should I be lighting it now?
You can light it. Okay. I actually might light it if I were you.
I want to light it.
Yeah, but I can start talking, right?
You talk. I'm lighting.
Yeah, the sage is right behind us. So now we're going to talk about Valak, the real demon.
Ooh, can you let me get this lit?
Yeah, I can let you get it litty titty in here.
Okay. Keep talking.
Well, the sage is lit.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody's scared. I was actually going to go watch The Nun when we were done.
I'm not scared. I don't know. It just, that religious.
It's real.
Yeah, religious scary stuff just stresses me out.
No, I understand that. But anyway, our sage is lit right now. So if you hear us periodically like wafting or blowing, we're keeping our sage alive, which actually I need to do right now. So here, let me give you guys some sage. There we go.
Okay.
So Valak, the real life demon, the real Valak, not the Valak that was depicted in the movie. We're going to talk about the real Valak now. Obviously, not a nun, if we're talking about the real Valak versus movie Valak, not a nun. It appears in various grimoires, which are books of magic,
mm-hmm.
that describe how to conjure demons.
Oof, why would you want to do that?
I don't know. I don't
People
know why
are crazy.
Anyone. So in, you know, these depictions, it never says that Valak is a nun, which is just something that was created by filmmakers. Instead, the demon is described as like a cherub with angel wings that rides on a two-headed dragon. So his use of a child form convinces victims that he's innocent, but then he lures them to painful ends. However, when he's in full evocation, mm-hmm. is that how you say it? Evocation?
Mm-hmm.
He is seen as a pale man with black hair and dark eyes.
Ooh, I don't like it. Like Voldemort.
Voldemort?
Yep, that. Vermont.
So one of the most notable mentions of Valak is in the mid 17th century, 1600s.
thanks for the clarification.
The Goetic grimoire, which is called The Lesser Key of Solomon, which draws on materials from a couple centuries prior. So the book's name comes from the fact that the demons focused on are ones that, like, according to this lure, according to this legend,
mm-hmm.
that were summoned by the biblical figure King Solomon. So Solomon features King Solomon of Old Testament, who was famous and renowned for his wisdom.
Uh-huh.
And at some point around the 2nd century BC, the idea spread that the king's realm of knowledge had also included certain secrets of astrology and magic, which this grimoire that had his name listed 72 demons that the king had supposedly vanquished during his reign.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
72. Holy crap.
Providing readers with their names and instructions for expelling them is what this book does. Should they ever come into contact with, you know, these spirits.
That's a better book than a conjuring book.
Yeah, then how to get them, how to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So here's like just a little bit about The Lesser Key of Solomon. And I pulled this off of Amazon. This is its description. And you can buy the paperback for only $7.89.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a little fun fact. So this, it's an illustrated reprint of the 1904 publication by, you're going to like this. Are you ready for this? You're going to recognize this name immediately.
Jensen Ackles?
No, but kind of. Actually, Aleister Crowley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he is a witch.
Yeah, he's the devil or the king of hell. Not the devil, the king of hell.
Yeah, but I mean the real Aleister Crowley was a witch.
Yeah.
But in Supernatural.
Well, that's what I was. I didn't know if you knew who the real witch was because I didn't till right now.
The real Aleister Crowley?
Yeah, the real witch. Not just the king of hell.
And you know how I know about Aleister Crowley?
No.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, nope. Wouldn't have known that. That's weird.
Thank you, Ozzy Osbourne.
Thank you, Ozzy Osbourne. This episode goes out to you. And Samuel Lytle McGregor Mathers. Have you ever heard that name?
No, but it's a lot of names.
It's a lot of names. So this edition is has over 150 seals, sigils, and charts of the original Lesser Book of Solomon. It says, beware, the other editions do not contain the Lesser Key of Solomon seals. They were painstakingly researched by Mathers and Crowley, and Solomon's Lesser Key is enhanced by their inclusion. This edition also contains Crowley's original comments located in over 35 annotations to help the reader understand the Lesser Keys of the Solomon the King. And in this work, Crowley and Mathers assemble descriptions of directions of the invocation of over 72 demons or spirits, and included are illustrations of the magic circle and triangle, the Enochian translations of the Gosha something book, step-by-step guides for invocation, as well as definitions and explanations of the ancient terms seen throughout the Lesser Key of the Solomon book. I'm still reading the Amazon description, by the way.
I got it.
The Lesser Key of Solomon.
Solomon. It got very fancy.
Or the Clavicula Salomonis Regis. Or the Lamentation.
Something about the clavicle.
It's a compilation of materials and writings from ancient sources making up a text or magic of or grimoire. Portions of this book can be traced back to the mid-16th century to 17th centuries when occult researchers such as Cornelius Agrippa and Johannes T.
Johannes T. Because I'm guessing it's an unpronounceable. It's fine.
Trithemisus.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Assembled what they discovered during their investigations into their own novels, I guess. But it's a modern grimoire. It's a modern grimoire, which has been published, obviously, at this point.
Since 1904.
So many people have assembled their own version of this, though. But apparently this book is so traditionally the book itself is made up of five different books: Ars Graecia, Ars Liguria Graecia, Ars Paulina, Ars Almadel, and Ars Notoria. But Mathers and Crowley, they indicate that their edition is a translation of only the first book, Graecia. So it doesn't contain all five books. It's just a translation of the one book.
Okay.
Which I guess is the one that notes all 72 demons and how to get rid of them.
Cool.
And
how to get rid of them or how to conjure them?
No, this one's how to get rid of them.
Okay.
So it also says that in this, that Crowley was asked to step in and finish what the previous author had begun, and that Mathers is credited as the translator of this edition, but Crowley is given the title of the editor. And though it says it's impossible to verify, it's often claimed that Mathers didn't even want to publish this.
Yeah, because it's fucking black magic shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but Crowley did so anyway without his permission.
Yeah, because he's a witch.
Yeah, but if he's telling you how to get rid of this shit, then...
Yeah, he can...
I don't know. I'm not buying the book. I'm not going to read it for any of you. We're not going to test this out together. Do it your own will, what you please, but we're not doing this here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still have our sage burning.
Yes, we do.
So the Lesser Key of Solomon describes the demon Valak, which also in other translations is spelt as or pronounced like Valak, but with a C at the end. Ualak, Valu, Volak, Dulas, and Volak.
So it's just in different languages or like different regions or like...
Yeah, but so I guess they're all this
kind of thing.
The same.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. As the Grand President of Hell. So we're dealing with a big guy here.
Right. I'm like, that's a hell of a title.
Who commands legions of demonic minions. He is the 62nd demon that King Solomon slayed, according to this.
Okay.
So you remember the 72?
Yeah.
He's the 62nd.
So there's 10 more to go.
Sure. Whatever you want to say about it. So the actual book reads this about Valak. He is a president, might and great, and appeareth like a child with angel's wings riding on a two-headed dragon. His office is to give true answers of hidden treasures and to tell where serpents may be seen. The witch he will bring unto the exerciser without any force or strength being by him employed. He governeth 38 legions of spirits, and his seal is thus.
I'm just like, I don't know.
You're weirded out.
I don't like it. I don't like stuff like this. Although I was like, oh yeah, this is a great idea.
I was actually like, saying,
Daphne, will you sleep with me tonight?
I will. Only if I can have Sky.
Yes, she's all yours.
No, what I was gonna say is that I was telling my mom while she was lighting the sage and we paused it, that I was like, I felt fine earlier while I was, you know, during my time researching this. Every time I sat down to research, I sat outside in the sun and it was great and enjoyable, except for when I was wrapping it up today. My dog had a seizure in the last 20 minutes or like 20 minutes after I finished. But my dog's also epileptic.
Yeah, I was going to say.
My old lady Shih Tzu that I fight with all the time.
Yeah.
See, we fight about the fact that she has seizures and she wasn't epileptic when I got her.
No.
See, that's one of the reasons why we argue. I'm not that crazy.
Yes, I just feel, yeah, you definitely should mention that she is already epileptic.
Yeah, she is so epileptic.
So you doing this
But episode. She hasn't had a seizure in like 3 months?
No, she had a seizure like 2 weeks ago.
When?
I think you weren't here.
Oh, shit. Well, I was thinking it'd been a while since we increased her medication.
No, she had a seizure a couple weeks ago.
Great. Well, way to fill me in.
I'm sure I told you.
No, you didn't.
Okay, whatever. I keep it from you. It's fine.
Yeah, right. Let's like, oh, hey, by the way, your kid broke her arm. I just didn't tell you.
I was here. So.
Like, cool, fuck me. So it's said that Balak, that he gives these treasures, quote, or these answers of what people are looking for to those who call upon him, who are lucky enough, or those that are lucky enough to worship him.
Fuck that.
I know. I don't want to be one of those lucky people.
Yeah. Hard pass on that kind of luck.
Yeah. Hard pass. But, you know, he kind of reminds me of like a crossroads demon in Supernatural. He's like, oh, what do you desire? And then like he leads you to it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of that.
And it's weird how I love Supernatural. And, like, it doesn't creep me out.
See, I never finished Supernatural.
Yeah, you're a loss. Except for that the end is, I don't like it. But, and plus it's the end, so that's another
reason. I'm assuming that meant that Dean died, because I've never heard anything like that come out of your mouth before. She's never said she didn't like it, but we all know Jensen Ackles is her man, literally, because she just said, who, Jensen Ackles? I was like, no, Aleister Crowley. Different guy. Sorry.
It's okay.
So the University of Hertfordshire professor Owen Davies, who's an expert at the history of ghosts and witchcraft, described the grimoires as books that contain a mix of spells, conjurations, natural secrets, and ancient wisdoms, and that the Solomon is a self-described guide to the ceremonial art of commanding spirits, both good and evil. So I don't know if that's commanding them to you or commanding them away from you.
I guess it's up to interpretation or up to like your desire. Probably, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah. I bet that guy has a lot of fucking sage burning.
Yeah. At all times.
Yeah.
Speaking of. Oh, shit. It's ashing everywhere.
Oh, shit. In the only fucking carpeted place in the house.
So the Bible itself contains no reference of Solomon's 72 demons, but Solomon was actually listed in the Vatican's index of Librarum Prohibitorum, or the list of prohibited books.
Yeah, that sounds like it is.
Yeah, which the church continuously updated until scrapping it altogether in 1966.
When they decided they didn't want to ban books anymore?
I guess so.
Right. Although I think that one I feel fine about that one.
Being banned?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the church has considered the text not only non-religious, but heretical. However, it's like, you know, they like ban it and write off the book. But a lot of Catholic priests actually own the book.
Wow. Okay. I'm not going to comment on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I don't really have one. So Balak is sometimes blamed for the children's crusades to the Holy Land when thousands of young people were sold into slavery in 1212 AD. He is also sometimes blamed for the Pied Piper incident of 1284 when 130 children had gone missing in the German village of Hamelin. Valak seems to target children because they are easily persuaded, but he doesn't just limit himself to them. He can also go after adults. Whatever he so chooses, I guess, right?
Right. Maybe like weak-minded or something.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, because if it's children and adults, it's got to be some kind of specific adult.
Right. Yeah. Weak-minded. Well, that's what they say. Like people who get possessed are, I don't want to use the word like down in the dumps, but they're like mental.
Vulnerable.
Yeah, they're vulnerable.
Yeah.
So Valak, until the nun, has never been actually depicted as a female. But his most defining characteristic is that he appears in the form of an innocent little boy, right? But there was almost nothing linking this Valak to the, you know, actual... There's nothing linking the nun Valak to the mythological demon Valak that was portrayed in the movie, other than the fact that they share the same name.
So it's totally fictional, but drawn on
a name.
Yeah. Or drawn on like, okay, say I tell you one thing from my life and you, it's like the carrot in the story, but then the whole rest of the story has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or goes on creative license. I know you're looking at me all fucking puzzled.
Totally. Because you're like, it's the carrot.
But you know how I always say, here's the carrot.
No. You know that one time you said it 30 seconds ago? Besides, Daphne, here's a carrot. Like when you actually have a carrot. Or you go, hey, Daphne, can you give me some carrot juice? You never say, oh, here's the carrot.
Well, not like that. I don't say it, but I do say that, like, this is the carrot that, like, draws you in, or I don't know.
No, you don't.
I do, but it's a different way that I say it. Maybe I don't even use the word carrot.
No, you definitely don't. I think you say, like, this is the hook.
Okay. In my head, it's a carrot.
Sure.
Fuck.
Right? So, Mom, now I have a question for you. Which is scary to you, the demonic cherub or the demonic nun?
The demonic nun.
Okay.
What about you?
Oh, shit. The ashes of the fucking sage are pretty scary right now. I think the cherub.
Because it seems more innocent?
Because it's real.
Well, a nun is real, too.
Well, a nun is real, too, but the nun is a fake story. I guess Solomon could have lied.
King Solomon, never.
Yeah, and there could have never really been a Valak.
Right.
It could have only been 60 demons, and each made up the last 12. I don't know. I wasn't personally there.
I wasn't there.
However, yeah, I think the Valak in the lesser book is scary.
Okay.
Yeah, but that rappy does it. I am a nothing of darkness.
No, same.
Light only.
Same.
My interests sometimes lie in the dark, but not my actions.
No.
Not even like my fascinations, I guess, if you will. But nothing I would ever cross the line for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, you wouldn't be making a deal with the crossroads devil?
Nope. Can't say I would.
Okay. Or crossroads demon.
Yeah, I was picking up what you were putting down.
Cool.
Yeah. No. Can't say that I would.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Thanks for whipping out a shorty for us.
Yeah, of
course. So that I can continue on my longie.
I thought it would be fun because The Nun is going to be out this weekend. So, you know, go see The Nun too and listen to this. Or listen to this and fucking don't watch The Nun at all because it might freak you out even more. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, those religious scary movies I don't really like. I like scary movies a lot. Especially if they're truly scary and really make you like...
What was that one we just watched not that long ago that was pretty good? This one with the strangers.
The Strangers?
I thought it was like When a Stranger Calls.
The Strangers. It was called The Strangers. With Liv Tyler?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Strangers.
Yeah, but they're in the masks.
Yeah, and they all show up at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good. You know what movie really makes me jump? Well, at least the first time I saw it. And the first time I saw it too, then like when I went upstairs, I remembered like totally looking around the corners and like being all was Sinister.
Sinister. I was going to say she screamed.
Yeah.
During Sinister and she never gets jump scared.
Nope. It was good.
She screamed.
And then when I watched it the second time, it didn't do that to me. So that kind of sucked. Because I was like,
have you seen the second one yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was like, oh, this is so good. And I'm like, man, it didn't do that to me. But I guess it's okay.
I think it's because you had an expectation.
Yeah. Fair.
Because you'd already seen it.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm going to go enjoy my spooky nails.
You guys have a safe evening. Sage.
Yeah, Sage. Follow us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. Send us a Gmail, thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com.
We can tell you how to sage if you send us a Gmail.
Yeah, I'd love to give anyone who wants to know my saging ritual. I have like a whole ass ritual that I say when I sage because I'm big on protection.
Yeah.
And it only lasts for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You sage to rid the bad. And you Palo Santo to bring the good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we'll be Palo Santoing after this as well. anyway, our website, thatsdisturbingpodcast.com, you can send us a case request form. You could send us a, hey, can you tell me how to sage?
There. Or you can put it in the comments.
Yeah, you could also put it in the comments or on the gram. Yeah, send us a DM.
Yeah.
Whatever floats your fancy.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Don't get haunted.
Yeah, don't.